Miss any of our show segments or interviews, or just want to listen again to your favorite parts of our show? Visit The Drive Podcast. Go to TeamMyrtleBeach.com, scroll over the podcast tab, and select The Drive with Aaron Marks.
I'm actually very Georgia looking today, I just realized. Got on the black slacks and threw on the red golf polo. Either that or what Tiger used to look like on Sundays. Does he still dress that way? Does he still wear the black pants and the red jersey?
It doesn't have the same.
Yeah, it just doesn't mean anything anymore. It used to strike fear into the other players, but not so much today. All right, speaking of Georgia, let's talk a little SEC. Joining us on the line, he's the SEC lead writer for BleacherReport.com. Barrett Salee giving us a few minutes. And Barrett, boy, what an interesting week last week in the SEC. Really some surprises. Were you surprised? What was most surprising to you about it, whether it be Auburn, Arkansas, or Missouri all struggling?
Well, I mean, it was Arkansas first. I mean, yeah, Tiger may still wear that on Sundays, but he does it while he's sitting in his living room watching guys that actually made the cut.
He's playing Tiger Woods 2014 because now it's called Rory McIlroy Golf. So he's playing the old edition and dominating in it.
That's right. Hey, you got to be good at something. No, I mean, it was surprising. I think the biggest thing was Arkansas because, A, they lost, but, B, I mean, there's no reason Brandon Allen should be throwing 53 times in a game ever. Like, not even in shootouts should that happen. So that was really surprising because I liked Dan Enos. I thought he was a good offensive coordinator. I think he was a great hire. But I have no idea what he was doing. So that was probably the most curious and most disappointing thing. You know, Auburn certainly was as well. You know, mostly just because Jeremy Johnson just doesn't make good decisions. He makes some really awful decisions. Now, you look at his stats and they actually weren't terrible. But man, his interceptions were just awful and some of the incompletions were really bad too. So that was, I would say, shocking as well. But the thing with Auburn, and people are piling on Auburn this week, and I have to, they're still 2-0, and they still have Gus Malzahn, a guy who is really good at figuring out on the fly what his team's strengths are and coaching towards them. So, you know, while they did look awful, they still got a win, and that does matter.
So you actually posed the question in your most recent article, can the SEC fix its quarterback problem? It sounds like you think it can at Auburn, but what about everywhere else? Because we talked about this early in the year, and this is playing an impact so far this season, the young quarterbacks in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, I think they can. Like I said, you know, Gus Malzahn coaches towards his quarterbacks, and they can go more Nick Marshall-ish, because Jeremy Johnson's only rushed 9 times this year, so they can go in that direction and be successful, and I think that's what they have to do at this point because they can't trust their quarterback. LSU, you know, I think they can certainly fix their quarterback problem because at least Brandon Harris got a win under his belt. They hid him to a large extent, but they at least got a win. He got a win as a starting quarterback on the road, which does matter. And they did implement some more zone read into that attack as well, which is important because Les Miles has been infatuated with dual-threat quarterbacks for a while now but doesn't know how to use them. He looked like he knew how to use Brandon Harris on Saturday night in Starkville. So that's important. You know, I don't even think Alabama has a quarterback problem, to be honest with you. They just tried some things against Middle Tennessee. Some of them worked, some of them didn't. I don't know if they trust their quarterbacks to throw themselves out of a hole if they get into one, but if, in a perfect world for Alabama, they don't get into one. So, you know, that's, I guess, a little problem, but nothing too concerning. And then Georgia with Grayson Lambert, I really didn't expect much different from Georgia at this point because, you know, the way Lambert came in right before fall camp, you sort of expected them to sort of go ultra-conservative early and just build into that offense. It's a complicated offense, new system, transfer quarterback, lots of new pieces. That's who they are. And, you know, Grayson Lambert had a pretty bad stretch against Vanderbilt early, but he did pick it up late. So I think that they can be fine. I think it's just sort of a work in progress.
My guest this morning, Barrett Salee, SEC lead writer at BleacherReport.com. Check out all of his work by visiting his page at BleacherReport.com. Latest articles focusing a lot on the SEC quarterbacks and also improvements every SEC football team needs to make. You can go through that slideshow and check that out as well. Barry, got a big game coming up this weekend for the Gamecocks. They need to bounce back in a hurry if they want to have as successful of a season as them and their fans were hopeful. And they can turn it around against Georgia. And Coach Spurrier just seems to have Georgia's number, regardless of the situation, regardless of the school he's at. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I don't know. And we asked him about that, and he said he doesn't consider Georgia, or Georgia doesn't consider him a rival. I like angry, arrogant Spurrier, not concise, contrite Spurrier, the way he's been lately. Yeah, I think he does have a fire in him. He enjoys beating Georgia, dating back to his Florida days, because he knows how important it is for that program. He knew going in how important it was for Florida. And then that sort of mentality has just sort of followed him to South Carolina. And I think, you know, he knows how to attack Georgia. I think he put a little extra effort into it. I think the coaches get a little more fired up for it. I think a lot of the players do. He said something like 25 or 35 of his 80 players on the roster are from the state of Georgia. So I think there's a lot of rivalry factor in it for South Carolina, but there's not as much for Georgia. And maybe that gives South Carolina a little bit more of an edge. You know, he does have their number. And like you said, it's a big game. It's a down season so far for South Carolina. There's not a lot going for the Gamecocks. Georgia's 2-0. South Carolina looks like dead in the water, which means South Carolina's going to win by 3 touchdowns because that's sort of how that rivalry goes.
Certainly has been as of late. It certainly has kind of gone that way. Barrett, a big game between Ole Miss and Alabama. What are the similarities, but maybe more importantly, the differences in this matchup this year versus last year's game, which last year's game seemed to have a lot more buildup than this year's?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing for this one is that Alabama looks like it's fixed its cornerback issue. You know, some of these guys, Marlon Humphrey, Tony Brown, and Micah Fitzpatrick have, and Eddie Jackson actually moving to safety, have sort of solidified that. They've actually looked really good at the back end of that defense. Now, they played Wisconsin, which can't throw. They played Middle Tennessee, which can't throw. I get that. But they actually looked functional, and they were in the right spots making plays, which is a big step for them. With that said, this is Ole Miss, and they've got basically an NBA team as wide receivers. I mean, they are just loaded. So we'll see if they can keep that up. I think the biggest matchup, the problem here is that if Ole Miss doesn't have Laramie Tunsil, and right now it doesn't look like they will, there's just no shot because Chad Kelly's not going to have any time. Ole Miss's offensive line is experienced, but without their best player, that's a major, major problem against the front seven that is just ferocious. So, you know, on the road, first road start for Chad Kelly, best front seven in the SEC, perhaps the nation. I just don't see how Ole Miss is going to get the job done. I think it'll be close, but the matchups, I just don't like Ole Miss in this one.
Final thoughts, Barrett, a game that on a huge weekend in SEC football, a lot of big conference games that will have big implications that we've yet to bring up is we've talked about these teams already, but not in the matchup, LSU and Auburn. And, I mean, these are two teams that are both sitting there, I think, number 13 and number 18 in the polls, but two teams that both have major aspirations that will not be achieved without a win this weekend. What do you think of this matchup?
Well, I mean, it's sort of a matchup of a bunch of unknowns because Auburn's been a mess, and honestly, we didn't learn a whole lot about LSU against Mississippi State except for the fact that Brandon Harris can manage a game, which is a something, but it's not a huge, huge deal. So, I give the edge to LSU just because they're at home, and Jeremy Johnson's been so bad, and then there's nothing to suggest that he's not going to have that continue against an LSU defense. They got a little bit of a pressure last week against Mississippi State. Yeah, they got torched by Dak Prescott late in the game, but Jeremy Johnson, it's hard to trust him at this point. If Auburn does go more conservative and go multidimensional and let Jeremy Johnson run a lot more, I think they've got a chance. But if he's going to throw them to a victory, they're not going to win. So I think LSU gets the job done.
All right, we'll see how it all shakes out. Barrett, enjoy the weekend. We'll catch up soon, okay?
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, good stuff. Barrett Salee, SEC lead writer with BleacherReport.com, and throwing some Tiger Woods zingers in there as well. Great stuff. Again, check out his work. I think he's one of the best writers covering the SEC in the nation. He does an outstanding job. You can hear him on SiriusXM Radio every week for their college football hangover show on Sunday mornings, and read his articles at his page. It's Barrett, B-A-R-R-E-T-T, Salee, S-A-L-L-E-E. If you Google his name, they all pop right up. And his most recent article, Can the SEC Fix Its Quarterback Problems? Also, he has a slideshow up that he put out there on Tuesday, Improvements Every SEC Football Team Needs to Make. day. Goes through every team and talks about where they need to improve at this point of the season. So see what he has to say on the Gamecocks, the Bulldogs, the Gators, and everybody else. All right, so we're talking about some of the best teams in the nation, right? Some of the best programs in the nation with the SEC. So it begs the question, which of these programs has the most players currently on an NFL roster? I was actually wondering this question aloud in terms of where Coastal ranked about a week ago. Well, we have an answer for who the top 10 teams are that have current players on active NFL rosters, and we'll tell you who's number one coming up next.